Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults. Also, the views expressed in Those Damn Ross Kids do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves.
That's not going to work.
Why?
That's not going to work.
So my big gulp rum and coke is not going to work.
For many reasons, but for our purposes right now.
But I have a straw. You told me, can't you just use a fucking straw?
And then well, you told me, I use a straw. Can't you just drink like a fucking person?
I wondered the same thing here 2 weeks ago when you were drinking a beer.
That's what it was in allusion to.
Yeah, I think you quoted me.
Just there.
Which is neat and weird. I feel all right about that, but that is not going to work.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey Chris, what episode is this?
This is episode number 45 of the Internet Comedy Podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
And it is our 1 year anniversary, give or take, a little bit.
Yeah, 1 year.
1 year.
Wow.
I never thought we'd make it. I thought one of us would be...
I thought I would kill you by now.
Yeah, I thought one of us would be dead at the other one's hands, but
did you think that this prevailed? Did you think that this was going to be like a... not going to last this long?
Quite frankly, I'm astonished.
Are you really?
No, not really.
Oh.
It's fun. I enjoy it. It's well for you.
Well, I'm talking about for me, like, because I take things up for like 5 minutes and then I'm done with them. And
no, I've been happy to have you along for the ride.
I have like an extra shed for all of my unfinished, you know, hobbies.
I was going to talk to you about the karate gi you're wearing right now.
Yeah. Don't worry. It'll be off in a minute.
That's a nice electric guitar you have over there in the corner.
It's not a problem.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's hard to set up all of our audio equipment with all the macrame stuff you have laid out.
Yeah, but, the full suit of armor that I had for my medieval reenactments.
Yeah, for your LARPing, definitely. Yep.
What is LARPing?
Live action role play.
Oh, gotcha. I thought it was like some sort of Vietnam reenactment.
it's like D&D in the woods.
No.
So 1 year.
1 year, that's it.
Yeah. It's been 1 year since you listened to us. I can't, I'm doing a lounge act. Chris, do you have a story for me?
Sure. Would you agree that we're brothers?
Otherwise, the premise of the show is flawed.
Okay. I mean, we've at least been told we're brothers, right?
Yeah. There's a resemblance.
Somewhat. I have a story about some brothers.
Okay.
All right. And a mommy, a matriarch, because I think that that's required.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
At least as of now, you need one of those. At least from the beginning. Larger-than-life mom Cynthia Williams has admitted to feeding her sons to death after letting them gorge on a diet of pizza, donuts, and fried chicken, and refuses to stop even though doctors have warned that she is signing their death warrant in Greece. Her bouncing boys, which is why I chose this story. Literally why I chose this story, because it fit and they used her bouncing boys.
Her bouncing baby boys.
Joseph, 26, and Matthew, 18, very biblical, now weigh a whopping 800 pounds combined, but still their mom keeps plying them with high-calorie food. She's quoted as saying, "I know it's my fault they're fat, and the fatty food is killing them, but I can't stop. I'm feeding my boys to death." The mom, by the way, is 5'2", and hits the scales at 336. "They are too overweight to work, exercise, or socialize. The only thing I can offer them to make them happy is more food."
So these are some spherical ass kids.
Yeah, they're
men. They're men.
The real deal. Yeah. She says a typical day's diet for the chunky brothers, which I took direct offense to, includes cream filled donuts, fried chicken, ice cream, cheeseburgers, fries, chips, and cookies, all washed down with sugary, delicious soda. "I felt bad for the boys growing up in such an upsetting environment. So when I left my husband, I was determined to give them everything they wanted to make them happy."
So food is love.
But baby, it's hurting them.
But it's hurting those babies.
Yeah.
Huh.
OneNote tab, Octo 100 Pound Mama.
God. Yeah. I just, here's the thing. Why is this a news story? Because if these, like, if they were like, you know, 5 and 8, I could understand. These are grown ass men.
This is uplifting for me.
Why?
Because by the grace of God, this was you and me.
But for. Exactly. Yes. You know, it's just one of those, it's a parenting style, I guess, you know. I don't.
Is that in Lipschitz?
I don't think it's endorsed by any body, by any legislative body. Yeah, it's child abuse.
They're 20, they're 30-year-old men.
But they had to get there somehow, right?
I guess.
We needed to give them some stability, so I figured I'd make them the targets of ridicule at school. That will do wonders for their self-esteem.
She was giving them a good base, making them really stable.
Chris, you know what they say about weevils? They weevil, they wobble, but life can't knock them down.
Okay.
Crippling diabetes can.
It really could. Really could.
Chris, are you a type A or type B personality? These kids, they're type 2.
You're so proud of yourself.
I know. I'm grinning from ear.
You're loving you right now.
No, you're right. You know, we're both bigger gentlemen, if I can say that.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris, what do you put down the knife?
We have frames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like sumo wrestlers, they don't eat that much.
Very true.
I don't know. Huh. Sumo wrestlers are actually really healthy.
Like, really?
Yeah. I mean, they die super short because they drink a lot. Mm-hmm. But like, as far as like cardiovascular
they
health.
They have the omega-3s and fish so much oil, fish lipids.
And all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. They eat the ocean.
And they're, and they're like major sex symbols
over there.
Did you
eat the ocean or did you eat Billy Ocean?
You shouldn't eat Billy Ocean whole.
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah. I'm just picturing, you know, call it, you know.
Is he still around or is he living under an alias? Is he like Will Pacific?
Well, no, he got a sex change. And now he's the Caribbean Queen.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice for him.
Chris, speaking of the sea,
mm-hmm.
Can I tell you about new societies? Sea societies?
That's why we're here. Like, you got me for like an hour 45, so let's do this.
Let's do it. Chris, seasteading is the idea that a future society that follows libertarian objectivist ideals could exist on the ocean. Their mission? To further the establishment and growth of permanent autonomous ocean communities, enabling innovation with new political and social systems. Chris, the implementation? Entire cities built on platforms in international waters, with no zoning laws or building ordinances. Low taxes, no import or export tariffs, few restrictions on weapons, local consumption of drugs, no minimum wage, no legislated work week, no coerced welfare system, no eminent domain, and many other libertarian policies. The program gained some minor media coverage after Peter Thiel, the founder of PayPal, invested $1.7 million in the project. Barely enough to buy a yacht, but enough to establish an entire platform society of Randian supermen.
Pontoontopia.
Pontopia, Chris.
Pontopia.
Pontopia. You can take some grills out. You can catch some fish. You can sell drugs.
Can you imagine how pissed off the Redneck Yacht Club is on this one? Can you seriously imagine? They were so close.
They were so close.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, there are no laws on a redneck yacht club.
No. Okay? If you added being able to like open your own distillery and raping your daughter, could merge.
With no recourse. It's like a flotilla. It's a flotilla of self-determination.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of, you know, gathering like that big garbage pile in the Pacific Ocean.
That's
also
what I would do.
Also a garbage pile.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, there is no law on the water, right? That's the idea of this.
That's the idea.
That's why you do this.
No nation, mm-hmm. No gods, no kings.
No.
Only men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So would you agree with me that the world is 80% lawless?
But what about outer space, Chris?
Who owns the moon?
Don't we own the moon?
No.
I think that we...
No, we owned the moon.
Okay.
We violated the moons every... Every sea.
We established every Maria, yeah. I guess. That's
that
what you call
too.
Them?
Yeah. I don't know any more moon words.
Yeah, no moon words.
I'm sure
words.
You do.
Apogee, so, perigee.
I'm going to go outside and you can finish out the podcast with moon terms. So, hi, everybody. Thank you. And don't fucking donate to this shit.
It's awful.
Because you're throwing your money away. You're just going to buy more books.
No, I'm saying, you know, these people... Seasteading?
Really
no.
Will.
No seasteading. Moonsteading, Chris.
Uh-huh.
Moonsteading.
There you go.
Moonsteading.
I'm teapotting on my moonstead.
Oh, man. No loss.
I did watch The Office this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's been like...
And there was a planking joke, and it made me angry.
Really?
Yeah, because they were too late.
In general, isn't that like their thing where they... Like pick up on an internet meme and then it's Michael Scott.
It's incredibly hard to do that in this day and age. You cannot keep up.
It moves so quickly.
Like if we were going to write something that was going to be produced 6 months from now about, you know, seasteading, it's gone.
It's not gone. It's like already succeeded.
It's vapor.
And like 40% of the population is now living in Prostitute Island out in the middle of the North Atlantic.
They're in the Philippines.
Yeah. Well, in the Philippines, so they can, you know, have easy access to the Thais,
mm-hmm.
to the Thai people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To the Thai fighters. Chris.
Does that have a video game?
No, that's... Well, it was a video game. It was a Star Wars video game. It was a really good video game. That's neither here nor there.
Gotcha.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. I was hoping that maybe today you would help me be able to solve a mystery.
I like mysteries, Chris.
I know you do.
I
picked this story because I know you love a good mystery.
Wait, can I get my mystery hat?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, I don't have to get it. It's right here.
Thank God. It's a pork pie.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a pork pie hat.
Yep, that's the one.
Can I talk as a mystery solver?
No.
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 Let's solve this mystery.
Cool, dude. Brian Oster? Oyster? Oster? O-S-T-E-R?
Oster? Yeah, Oster.
Oster of Monterey, California, offered to pay Misael Ruiz, who he believed was a woman, $60 for sexual acts, which sounds hot.
Well, Chris, I'm sorry. I'm terrified of the idea of a sexual axe.
Ruiz agreed and got into the 36-year-old's 1986 silver Nissan. After doing sex acts inside the Nissan, the 1986 silver Nissan, the prostitute attempted to take more than the $60 from Oster while he was driving. The two men... Yes, that's right. The two men broke into a fight that eventually spilled out on the street. Oster produced a taser electric stun gun and repeatedly used the device on Ruiz, who he believed was a woman, and then once they started fighting, realized quickly that he was a man, so that he could try to retrieve his cash. Ruiz, while wearing women's clothing, eyeliner, and lipstick, fought back by beating Oster with a large rock. So.
Chris, we call that Flintstones justice.
Alrighty then. So. How do you not know that it's a dude?
I don't know.
How are you pounding someone in the rear?
That.
And then you don't know, but like, is it possible? Like, do you go someplace in your head where you're like, well, physiologically, she must poop through her vagina. Because it smells like poop in here.
I just, Yeah, you would think, I mean, because I know that I am always alerted whenever I make ball-to-ball contact. Like, it puts up a little, you know, like Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, absolutely.
Exclamation mark.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, holy shit, yeah. that changes everything, mm-hmm. you know? I just, how was her tackle swaddled as to, you know, take the balls out of the equation, right?
Does that even matter?
The logistics of this, it has to be delusion, right? Because,
yeah,
I mean, this guy would have to who would admit to a media outlet that, oh, I was out looking for tranny hookers.
Nobody ever interviews these guys to say like, well, so what's the real deal? And I would love to. So if you have been in this situation, listeners, if you have ever been mistakenly hooked up with a some sort of prostitute transsexual situation. Did you know that that was what you were doing?
419-528-TDRK.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah.
No, I just, some people, that's their thing. And, you know, whatever, you know, it takes all sorts. But for some reason, I guess admitting that you were intentionally seeking, like, oh, I was definitely going to a prostitute, but I didn't know it was a dude.
That doesn't even matter. That doesn't really? Even matter. No.
Yeah.
Because there are people that are, like, at least they say that they've been, I genuinely, like, they've been in, like, three-year-long relationships. And they're like, I really thought that was a woman. How is that possible?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you how that's possible.
I want to know. So you can't solve the mystery. That's what you're telling me.
So I can't. I mean, I can offer hypotheses.
But you don't know personally.
No.
That's disappointing.
Chris, are you trying to, like, intervene on something? What are you saying about?
I am no longer going to enable you.
What are you saying about Sean, Chris? Shauna, what are you...
Clue number one.
Clue number one, is the name easily swappable? Is that...
Yeah, it is. But most are. So I'll give you a pass on that.
Okay. Huh. He tased her, and then she beat him with a rock.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yabba dabba do.
What's he doing with the taser? Usually, I would imagine that she would be the one who would be attempting to protect herself with a taser.
I think I'm just going to go ahead and assume that anyone driving a silver 1986 Nissan has a taser from now on.
Exactly. So, I assume that everybody has a taser, Chris.
That's a PSA. Just know that.
Just assume that anybody has a taser.
Everybody does.
People,
in those cars, in those vehicles.
In those particular
In those
vehicles,
modes of transport.
That model, that year,
yeah.
Always has a taser on their person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you drive a vehicle that's tucked neatly between junk and classic, you are that guy.
That falls in the donut hole. Yeah.
In more than one way,
I guess. So, Chris, I'm going to tell you a story, all right?
Okay.
Researchers in Britain asked 3,000 adults to rank the things that they, quote, couldn't live without. What resulted was a list that ranked Facebook, number 5, over flushing toilets, number 9. Can I tell you other things that Facebook ranked ahead of?
So the story's about Facebook being better than things.
Facebook being more important to people than being able to, at the push of a button, take the waste products that they just left behind and send it into oblivion.
Okay. So Pac-Man mouth would eat Facebook before it would eat flushing toilet.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. It was the shark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I remember somebody like trying to do Pac-Man, but I was wise to that. Don't try and make school interesting by putting video game characters in it.
Yeah, that didn't fool me.
No, you're not going to fool me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I almost learned there. But
it was close.
It was close. Other things that Facebook got ranked, Chris, in this list of 50. I will name all 50 of them. No. Coffee. Central heating. Painkillers. Shoes. Bottled water. Air conditioning. Disposable diapers. Light bulbs. Brassieres. And freezers. Strangely enough, ranked number 1 was sunshine. So, you know, there's that.
Sasha got a new couch. Want to take a look?
Hey, Sasha. Yeah.
Whoa. Cole just boomeranged one of his famous, like, index cards into his own face.
God. You ever have a paper cut on your cornea?
I think you might.
Ah, yeah.
Neato. Facebook rocks. People are shallow and stupid. I don't know what to say. It's all over.
But it's just, we're done.
I don't even know.
But it's true, right? Because if you ranked the amount of time that you spent, or that the average person spent in a day a lot of it would be spent on Facebook, mm-hmm. right? If you match that to like their priorities, it totally wouldn't match. Like most people would say, oh, I, you know, this is, you know, my kid or my career. No, what's important to you is watering your crops. Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, it is. I mean, just those crops are all I've got. Mm-hmm. I haven't got much, Chris.
Can I take you to the science zone?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Scientists at the Penn State College of Medicine said this week that they have discovered a virus that is capable of killing all types of breast cancer in a laboratory setting.
Holy shit.
The virus known as adeno-associated virus type 2, or AAV2, which can be found if you hit your input button several times, is naturally occurring and carried by up to 80% of humans, but it does not cause any disease. So it's a virus that does not cause any symptoms, at least. Okay?
Okay.
Disease symptoms, I guess, yeah, I'm going to use them synonymously. Researchers learned of its cancer-killing properties in 2005. What year are we in of our Lord here? Of the Common Era, according to the BBC?
We do record this 2 years in advance, so 2013.
Okay. Anyway, so that's like, what, 6 years real time?
Yeah.
Okay. They found out about the properties in 2005, 6 years ago, after Penn State scientists observed it killing cervical cancer cells. They also found that women who carried the AAV2 virus and human papillomavirus, or HPV, so they carried this virus and the genital warts, which causes cervical cancer, had a lower propensity to develop cervical cancer. So they drew a correlation between the two, right?
Okay.
They say you have the AAV2 and you have the HPV.
They cancel each other out.
You're just a cesspool of, you know, hypodermic needles that are just used. And there's probably a guy living in your vagina who washes his needles in like a Walmart toilet.
Lives in there?
Yeah, he just lives in there.
Is there some kind of mail slot?
You popped a squat and he made a squat. That's how that worked out. You shouldn't have made it so big.
Well, you know, you have to nip that stuff in the bud, because after, like, well, depending on your municipality, that's like what? Yeah. Like 3 months, and then he has squatters, right?
You shouldn't have gone into that production company where you walked through the legs and the title of the place was like gaping video. You shouldn't have done that.
The studio tour, it was so tempting.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you the hidden costs.
The part where they lock you there and make videos of you and then release you 8 years later.
Right. But like the medical breakthrough, you save mankind.
Yeah. There you go.
Chris, I fear for this. I fear for what this is going to do for the sale of pink merchandise.
But I'm
going to
blow your mind.
Please do.
I'm so ready.
Blow me.
Because that... when combined in a lab recently, AAV2 eradicated all breast cancer cells within 7 days.
What?
Yeah. 7 days to a better you.
Better living through chemistry.
Yeah.
Better living through biochemistry, Chris.
The problem is not what it's going to do to the pink ribbon merchandise. It's what's it going to do to women's health magazines at the grocery checkout. That article, the 7 days to a better you.
Yeah.
Is now done.
Like it's you just, can't the, do that. It's this one, like you can't yeah. do like the whole, yeah. oh, you know, go for a half hour walk each day.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, eat you more acai berry.
The 4 day fallopian cleanse. You can't do that.
You can't do the lemonade and cayenne pepper. You can't be a dream girl.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm.
That's phew.
Yeah. $2.99 to learn how to make my nostril smell like lavender. I don't think so.
Pro tip: just put lavender up there.
Yeah. There you go.
Easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
Science.
That's the way it works.
So within one calendar week, you're good.
Yeah.
You're all done.
This virus also proved capable of wiping out cancer cells at multiple stages, negating the need for differing treatments used today.
So I mean, what's stopping this from being like a widespread thing aside from, you know, the cabal of the pharmaceutical companies trying to keep effective stuff out so they can keep on selling people, you know?
The fact that the Earth couldn't support the world economies and the Earth itself could not support people if cancer was abolished.
Yeah, it's true, right?
It just can't do it. No. People have to die.
Chris.
Yeah.
Quit polishing your shotgun. Please stop that.
I'm not going to kill
him. Put your
cancer will.
Chris, put your shotgun next to your karate gi and your electric guitar.
I wish I was that guy that floated on the clouds and shot people with cancer arrows. But your life choices fucking make that shit happen. It's not me. I can shoot you with arrows, but you're just going to bleed to death. Right. You're not going to die of bleeding to death cancer because that doesn't exist.
Well, I mean, like an arrow lodged in one of your body cavities, that could technically be considered a growth. Right?
In fact, I could be doing you a favor because I could miss, not hit anything vital, and in the process of taking the arrow out, they could find the cancer, remove it, and you could have another 5 years.
God.
So say thanks or I'm going to punch you in the dick.
Okay, so cancer arrows.
Did you get the episode title, Cole? You want to draw it so bad?
I do. I do so bad. Oh, no. Chris, last week we talked about how long it would take for a dog to devour a man.
In Detroit?
Specifically, Detroit and the various seasteads where it actually is legal to have these kinds of... I consider them scientific studies, because I would like to know if I am beset upon by dogs, how long I have to go, you know, how long I have to save myself from being, you know, eaten wholesale. But Chris, how many bees does it take to kill a pig?
Are bees measured in individual?
Like an order of magnitude.
Probably
if the hog is not allergic to bees.
Well, that's a good stipulation.
Yeah.
700.
No, not hundreds. Not millions.
Thousands.
Thousands. Chris, an Arizona hog farmer was devastated after watching thousands of bees swarm her prize 1,000-pound hog. Her prize, 1,000-pound son. Stinging it thousands of times and killing it over the course of, Chris, and here's the number, 2 hours.
A 2-hour death by thousands of bees.
By thousands of bees. That's how I'd want to be executed.
Okay. We can make that happen.
Anything that happens on a podcast is legally binding. So if I commit some kind of heinous crime, none of this lethal injection shit. I don't want one needle, Chris. I want thousands of little needles over the course of 2 hours.
You want thousands of little ribbed, barbed units probing you?
Yeah. Then when they pull away, you know, just kind of like rips guts out.
Yep, that's the one.
That's the one.
I want to rip guts while busting guts. That's how I want to do it.
Busting guts up in them guts?
Yeah. Yes, that's the way.
She attempted several times to hose the hog off, but to no avail.
I actually knew a kid who was in the Navy when I was in Florida.
Yeah?
And he called himself the killer bee. And he's the person that introduced me to the phrase, busting up the guts.
Chris, there's equilibrium in the universe.
Yeah.
For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction.
He had a tiger tattoo on his forearm.
Did he flex it so it looked like it was ready to pounce?
No, it looked like it was humping a rose with his mom's name on it.
That's confusing.
Yeah.
Huh. The pig never stood a chance since swarming bees release a pheromone on their targets, marking them for death.
That's where that belongs.
That's where that belongs, on the floor. after every story, I'm taking my index cards and I'm flinging it. I hope that's okay. You have a guy for that, right?
Yeah. You have another eye, I hope.
Don't worry.
Absolutely.
I want people to call me Patch, Chris.
They already do.
God.
Can I tell you a story, Cole?
Yeah, you can.
Cool, man. George Ashman was born in 2006 with a large, unsightly red scar on his forehead. His mother feared he'd become a target for bullies. The birthmark was made up of bright, soft lumps of abnormal blood vessels, making it very difficult to remove. To remove it, doctors implanted devil-like horns to stretch out the skin on his forehead so that the blemish could more easily be removed. Small inflatable sacks were inserted under his hairline at either side of his forehead, which filled up with natural bodily fluid over 4 months. The surgery was successful, and George only has a minor scar left. One note tab, no sympathy.
Why would I have sympathy for him? Because for 4 months, he got to be the most badass, most metal little kid ever.
He was cooler than Fred Savage in Little Monsters.
Bosch. He was Rosemary's little disfigured baby.
That's how that works.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
what are you going to do?
Like she should have just let him. That builds character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love every 5-year-old that I see in the summertime whose parents have let him shave a mohawk into his head. I love every one of those.
Why do you love?
Because I just love little Chuck Liddells just all over the place. Little shirtless, shoeless, you know, fudgesicle smeared face Chuck Liddells at the supermarket. I love them. Mom's just buying sweet corn and they're going to have a good old time down in the homestead and it's going to be great. And they're just going to grow up and suck the system dry. Little getting mohawk Chuck Liddells.
Are you insinuating that each of these kids is the progeny of Chuck Liddell?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I've only ever seen this one time.
Okay.
but I have such an intense hatred and feeling for this one instance that I assume that it's probably happening more than the time that I observed.
No, I've seen it. I think
that it should stop immediately.
If you have a child, dear God, don't give them a faux hawk.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Mm-mm.
Don't
especially a really wide one.
I forget what was the original story.
I was some kid who had a birthmark and took it off by making him the devil.
Build some character. Yeah, build some character. Okay. Mm-hmm. Man, the devil solves so many problems.
He does.
Just like you think that there's some kind of insurmountable problem in your life, and all you have to do is be more like Satan, and it's all set.
Yeah. Look how he turned around Georgia.
I don't know. I don't know where to go with that. I'm not clever enough. We've run through all of the devil-based media. Speaking of misguided things to do to your little kid.
Yep.
A Nashville kindergarten class was given a run-of-the-mill show-and-tell assignment. Bring in an item that's important to your family. One child brought in a crack pipe and an ounce of crystal meth worth at least $3,700. The drugs were discovered when the child was unpacking his backpack, so no other kids were exposed to them. The mother is being charged with possession and first-degree child endangerment. This pipe is really important. Real mommy uses it, and then she becomes a different mommy. Mommy can't stop cleaning. Mommy says, I'm covered with bugs, but I don't think I'm covered with bugs. I think that I can... Is that what cooties are? Is mommy keeping me from cooties? I have lots of uncles. Mommy has lots of uncles over. Mommy puts this rock candy in. It smells bad. This rock candy smells bad.
How pissed would she be about the fact that there's $37? I mean, if you stole $3,700 worth of cash.
Right.
I mean, there's not many people who get high on money. But she stole money and a dependent substance, right?
Yeah. But he fulfilled the spirit of the assignment. I mean, this is really important to his family. So far as to say, I doubt the family would function without that meth. There were a lot of very special stories. Like, do you remember the Family Ties episode where Michael J. Fox was hooked on amphetamines?
Yeah. I think it was the reunion show. He was shaking a bunch. Oh, you are a wealth of funny.
You're a card, Chris.
Michael J.
You're a card.
MJF.
Yep. He's a talented man. He's a very talented... We salute you on this, the one-year anniversary of Those Damn Ross Kids, by making a cheap joke at your expense.
Yay, cheap jokes. In Kansas City, Missouri, an order error at a fast food restaurant almost cost an employee his life. A man placed an order at a Taco Bell and then drove home and noticed that he hadn't been given his hot sauce. Police say the man went back to the restaurant, handed the order back, and pointed a loaded shotgun in the window. Police used surveillance video to arrest the man. One note tab, taco shell.
Chris, there's a kind of poetry to what you do with the Microsoft program OneNote.
Yes. I think that when Bill Gates made Microsoft in 1976 by himself, and then he could grow up to make OneNote.
Uh-huh.
And OneNote is a great program. It won out on the Hive 5.
On lifehacker.com?
Yes, which if you can scroll through all the advertisements, you might find something useful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's possible.
Including seven fast food hacks for getting your order right. God damn it, how hard is your job?
That's how that works. But the reason that I picked this story is because I think that you know that I'm not an environmentalist at all.
You could care less about
planet Earth. No, I really don't care.
Yeah.
I made a joke, in fact, at a golf outing this last Friday.
Okay.
We had all come in and we were at lunch and we were going to the bathroom and everyone was urinating and we'd been having some beers throughout the morning. And they have one of those paper towel machines where you wave your hand in front of the eye.
Yeah.
And it gives you like a, you know, like an inch and a half by 8-inch section of paper towel.
Okay.
And I make a joke in the men's room, which should have been like, bo-ho-ho-ho. And there should have been high fives, but there weren't.
Okay.
I said, I hope that this isn't for the environment, because that sensor eye is made of baby seals.
I don't get the joke.
Baby seals.
Why are you raising your eyebrows up and down at me, Chris? Are you having is this some kind of manifestation of a seizure?
Baby seals,
Chris, stop it! You're frightening me. Your pupils are going crazy right now. No, I don't
understand. So it's not funny.
No, not to me, no.
Huh? Well, neither was it to everybody in the bathroom. Nobody talked to me for the other nine holes. I think that they didn't know what it meant. And tell you the truth, after I've repeated it a few times, I don't know what it means.
Is this the first time you've told a bad joke?
No, I tell lots of bad jokes.
We did it for a year.
Yeah. I don't know. But the point of the story was not for me to repeat the bad joke. The point of the story was for me to say that normally at a Taco Bell, me being like not caring about wasting anything or anything like that, I feel bad when I pull away from a Taco Bell around here because they give you like this pitcher of sauces, like this, like Andre the Giant himself filled your sauce bag.
Yeah.
And I drive away and I'm like, what am I going to, I ordered a Taco Supreme and like some nachos and what am I going to do with all this sauce? I don't think I can carry the sauce in one trip by myself from the car to the house. Like, how do I do that?
Have you ever seen like how they like how they replenish the CO2 in a fast food restaurant?
No.
Like, do you know what they do?
No.
There's a guy who comes around. There's a special truck. They pull up and they have a hose that they plug into the side of the building, and that's where the bubbles go. They put the CO2 into the side of the building. That's everywhere except for Taco Bell, where they put the sauce in. That's where they put the sauce in. That's why Taco Bell's drinks are flat.
That's the grease removal.
No, I've seen it happen. There was a truck that said, "We bring the bubbles."
Huh.
Yeah, that's how they do that.
Wow.
And then with Taco Bell, that's the sauce. It's the sauce hole.
But don't take your word for it.
Go look it up.
Thanks, Omar Epps.
God bless you and your crazy little computer vision goggles. Man, this is a star-studded episode.
Yeah, Timothy Burton's here.
Is he directing this episode?
And Lamar?
Oh.
From the Revenge of the Nerds series?
You mean LeVar Burton?
No, it's got to be your rainbow.
We're done here.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
If you're still with us, that was the 1 year anniversary podcast of Those Damn Ross Kids. I am Chris, and I am begging you please to tell a friend about the podcast let them know and remind yourself that you can access Those Damn Ross Kids, obviously, on iTunes. I say obviously because if you are listening to this, you're more than likely using iTunes because Steve Jobs has a gun to your head. His feeble, shaking hand, because the prostate is just too tumorous. Does he have prostate cancer?
No, pancreatic cancer.
Damn it. Why don't they just take it out? He doesn't need it. Doesn't he know that the pancreas will never be a camera and a music player?
Oh, man.
Anyway. You can also find us at duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids. If you want to leave the slash out and just put in duckfeed.tv, you will see other shows that are on the network, such as the Don't Tree Riddle.
Yeah.
As well as some Sherlock Jones, little mystery series that Cole is promoting for some friends he used to work with. And you will also find Watch Out for Fireballs, which is a new little podcast that Cole has, a retro video game podcast with Gary?
Gary,
that's right, from the Dead Idea of Valhalla podcast. All you people on the Something Awful threads and forums and such, I'm sure you're familiar with him. So if you can direct some attention our way, mainly Those Damn Ross Kids, but specifically the duckfeed.tv, that would be awesome. If you have some extra cash laying around, I know the economy's great and cash is flowing like the salmon of Capistrano. Yes, that was a Dumb and Dumber reference. I'm going to squeeze them all in no matter what I do.
Okay.
So is there anything else that anybody can do, Cole?
No, I think that you just ran the waterfront there. I will say, if I can be real for a moment, I know that
dun, dun, dun.
On a personal level here, I know that sincerity and earnestness are not things that we usually trade in on this program, but I will say that this past year has not been easy for me personally, but this program and the other programs that I do, they go a long way towards making me feel a sense of purpose, making me feel like a rock star every time I see one of you guys, you know, commenting on it. You know, it's fun enough to do and it's fun enough to make. But really it's awesome to know that you are giving us your time and attention, and it's great. So thank you, Chris, for doing this with me. And thank you so much to you, the listener, for quite frankly, letting us into your house. I wouldn't do it. There are much better podcasts out there, but there's some reason that you like us. We'll figure out what that is and we'll keep on doing it. But thanks.
Good night.
Good night.